You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
User joined your channel.
Guys, it is November 3rd, 2015, the year of our Lord, Tuesday. The live stream here, waiting for Lumberjack Greg. Hey, Lumberjack Greg just joined the live stream. Hi, Lumberjack.
Hey, how's it going, Ev?
It's going. How's the sawdust levels today in the plant?
Oh, it's fine. Good day at work. It's nice weather here. I'm very temperate, you know. Love this time of the year. Working outside.
Where are you again?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, today was about 22 Celsius here, which is about 70 something. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It must have been warm there too.
Oh yeah, it's about the same actually.
This is fantastic for November.
Yeah. Yeah, especially up where you're at. Like I'm living in the same time zone. I'm 2,000-3,000 miles south of you.
Oh, you're not 3,000 miles south.
Yeah.
You're probably about 800 miles. Come on, check a map.
Heck, I don't know. I just pulled that up the top of my head.
1,000 miles. You pulled that right out of your butt. Florida from Toronto.
Maybe
I'm way off. 1,500 miles.
Oh, is that
Florida
right?
From
okay.
Here is 1,500 miles.
No,
that's
no,
24-hour
okay,
drive.
Yeah, okay. Probably about 1,000 miles then.
No, not 1,000 miles. You're halfway to two-thirds of Florida from here.
Right, right. You said Florida's 1,500, so it'd be about 1,000.
Okay, so
like
maybe 1,000. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
Somewhere in
maybe
there.
1,000. Yeah, wherever you are, you're in a warmer place.
I am, yeah. I was thinking of the Appalachian Trail for some reason. I thought, that's about how far it is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What have you been listening to in the last week?
Let's see here. What did I hear good? Oh, I listened to the Gnostic Media podcast about Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. That was really good. John Irving?
Yeah. Is that Gnostic? All right, Gnostic Media. Okay, that was good. All right. Yeah, I saw that. I wasn't sure I wanted to dive into that, but you say it's worthwhile?
I enjoyed it. He's got interesting analysis of it. He researched documents from the Princeton Mudd Library there, where the Princeton Radio Research Project. He's documented in his work there. That was part of that, evidently.
You learn from that.
Well, it was part of it. Seems to be if his results are right, that seems to be part of a media research project, you know, into how people respond to the media.
Yeah. Well, then I'll listen to it. I'll dig it up.
You know, actually, I'd never heard War of the Worlds broadcast before, and they played it.
Oh,
you know, segments
whole thing?
And they talked about it. Yeah, it's only about an hour long, 45 minutes, something. Pretty interesting how they
podcast?
Do it, how they did it. Oh, the podcast, 2-3 hours.
All right. Tell me how they did it.
How they did it? I'm sorry? Oh, well, it's just, you know, you're listening to
the radio.
Yeah,
tell me how they did the War on the World, War of the Worlds, or...
Oh, it sort of starts out it's the format's sort of it's you're listening to music. They've got, the such-and-such quartet lined up playing for you, and then they interrupt it. They set it up from the beginning. If you were listening to the radio the whole time, you would know it was fiction. But they start playing it it's just radio play. You're listening to music, and they cut in with a news brief from this professor in California who's looking through his telescope and watching these explosions on Mars. That's how it starts out. And it just kind of goes by, news brief, breaking news kind of thing. And the story kind of builds up. And then You've got the madness that happened at the whatever farm that was, where supposedly people were running around shooting at the water tower with their shotguns and all this other crazy stuff, which is all just baloney anyways, you know. There really was no massive reaction to the World of Words podcast, the War of the Worlds radio show. That's just probably part of the experiment. The news in the next day, that is, that reported all the crazy activities that the people were getting into, you know, paranoid and all that. That was just bunk, too.
Well, that was part of the media experiment, lying about the reaction. Okay, I get that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, him and his, was it Dr. Hans Utter and Jan, they're going back and forth. They're talking about you know, it was a Sunday night. It started at 10 o'clock, I think. And in the paper the next day, they had the stories of people going nuts about the broadcast. That was in the paper
the
next day.
That would be a little too soon.
Yes,
that would be too soon to really get a real reaction.
There's just no way. Yeah, no way. You had to start printing the papers back at, you know, about midnight. So, that's bunk, obviously.
Oh, I get it. Almost like the Kennedy story being released a little too early in some other time zones, like New Zealand. News couldn't have traveled that fast.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was prefabricated and just ready to be released that day.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed War of the Worlds broadcast. It was like, this is kind of cool, you know, I'm going back and listening to this and how they build the story up. It's cool. Just to listen to that. I don't know why I'd never listened to that before. I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere.
Well, it was Orson Welles, right?
Yeah. And of course he released the podcast on Halloween or was it the day before Halloween, which is on the anniversary.
Okay. Right. Yeah. What year was that? 1938?
37, 38, somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, I'll listen to that.
Yeah. You could make a fakeology holiday out of that, Ab. You could, we'll do a War of the Worlds listening party every, October 30th.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but
I
did enjoy listening to that. It was really a piece of work. I mean, the way they did it.
Well, radio was the media of the day.
Yeah.
1938.
Of course, Jan's conversation partner was Hans Utter, who's a music guy, and he had some good analysis on the kind of the stress and strain, the release, the ups and downs of it, you know, with the types of music they were playing. It's kind of like you know, playing with your anxiety levels up and down. He had some pretty good points.
Yeah, he's been on the Jan Ervin show a lot, analyzing everything.
Yeah.
Like that's all the guy.
I've listened to two or three of those. I wasn't quite as into that, but I was like, War of the Worlds. Oh, yeah. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I give that one a...
If I enjoy it as much as
you
did.
Two thumbs up. I bet you, you probably will.
All right. Yeah, I only had mild interest in War of the Worlds. Of course, I've heard about it, but I've never bothered listening to it.
Well, it gets into, you know, studying how to use the media to manipulate people. So, I mean, it's pretty on topic, you know.
Right up our alley.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd never realized that the newspaper stories about people overreacting, that was fake. I didn't even know that. I was like, wow. Revelation.
Well, I didn't even really know about that at all. I didn't even go into depth on the story. Makes sense. It's all a study of how the media manipulates people.
Yeah, it's a psychology experiment, yeah.
Well, I would say that they're experimenting all the time on us, all the psyops.
Oh, yes, especially on the internet. Yeah, what a wonderful... The internet such a probably a wonderful tool for those kinds of studies and experiments.
Studies.
Yeah, we're lab rats, Ab.
Book especially reaction, or he gets traction.
Yeah. You broke breaking up a little bit, but...
Else
you said Facebook? Oops. Oh, no. I'm not hearing you.
Would you agree? Facebook is a great tool to gauge reaction?
Well, certainly all of the social medias and quasi-social medias and even the internet itself, just Google searches, all of it, yeah.
Yes, whereas before it'd be a lot harder to gather information.
Yeah, yeah. I think I might have missed some of your commentary. You were quiet there for a minute.
All right. I must have been going through a bad area.
Yeah. I'm good now.
What else have you been looking into, if anything?
Oh, let's see. Checked out. Simon had a really interesting post on booze.
Okay. What?
I don't know. A little different, you know. He was getting into the strange kind of connections between Jewish Purim and the World War II and the execution of the Nazis and stuff. It's just a lot of kind of parallels with, I don't know, what do you call it? Kind of Jewish theology and World War II events. You have to read it. I don't know how well I could talk about it. But I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Carol Thomas.
Okay, good.
Notice she has posted in the anonymous chat that she really liked it. Pretty amazing stuff, she says. I agree.
Thanks.
Alvarado, you're strangely silent, or I'm not hearing you.
No, I haven't said anything. I just...
Oh, sure.
Wait, just wondering. No, I haven't had anything. No thoughts came to my mind. Anything else you've been looking into?
I don't know. Just what I'd looked at today and yesterday, you know.
Okay. There hasn't been that many audios lately. Really, the YouTube community is the only thing that's going crazy. Audios and videos.
Oh,
I wonder
okay,
if these
yeah.
people that pump out all these audios have jobs. I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, yeah, I got to wonder about that, yeah.
I'm going to have to say no on that.
Yeah, yeah, I
videos,
guess
they take a lot of work.
I would be of the opinion that it's very suspicious, I think.
They might just not have jobs.
Maybe
they have
not.
Time to
okay,
sit at their
be.
Computer.
Yeah, okay. Could be.
Busy in my job, so I haven't had time to do anything really except the odd posts here and there.
Right, I hear you. I go back and forth myself. At the moment, I haven't been working crazy hours, so a little time on my hands.
Yeah, I'm still listening to mostly Jaron and Jaronism and pumps out 10 hours a week easy.
Right, yeah, I guess I'm kind of like you. I like to listen at work. You know, it gives me... You know, some headspace when I'm, you know, at the slave job.
Yeah, the only problem is with he does a lot of videos where he's talking about things he's looking at on the screen and I can't see it. But I don't sit in front of my computer.
Yeah.
And one thing that I found really interesting and I posted on fakeologist.com is he was talking about Google Earth Pro and you can put yourself, I think, what he did was you put yourself anywhere in the earth, in the world, and in this case, mm-hmm. it was McMurdo Base in Antarctica, and watched mm-hmm. through time lapse, I guess, the sun come up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the sun came up, and then it was blacked out by Google, not follow the path at all of the sun. He was trying to speculate why.
What do you mean by blocked
would
out?
Be, and if the Earth was literally blacked it out, it just started rising and then it's gone off the screen.
So the real time video was disappeared, huh? Oh, that's okay.
Real time. I don't know if it's video or images, time lapse images. They just disappear. It was explaining if the Earth was a sphere, how the sun would traverse screen or the image, the Earth was not a sphere and the Earth was flat, how the sun would traverse the sky in the images. Either way, you can't tell because Google blocked it out totally.
Oh.
That is very, very interesting. So there's no doubt you're hiding something. All you can do is speculate as to what on Earth you're blocking out and hiding, going on.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Get to know the answer. We should know. We should be allowed to know.
I wouldn't think that you know the what the average day is like in Argentina would be all that big of a secret. I mean, people live there. You can go on there on vacation and see for yourself, huh?
Well, at the bottom of Argentina and Tierra del Fuego, or whatever the southernmost point of Argentina
is. Yeah, way down south there. Where you get the like the really, really long days in the summer and the really, really short ones in the winter. I've never been there, but I'm, you know.
Never been outside North America, so I'm the last person to ask.
Yeah.
Been to where I live in the U.S. and Mexico. I'm the opposite of a world traveler.
Ah, yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm not much of a world traveler at all. I've never been outside the eastern side of the United States.
Well, I've been to Hawaii.
Cool. I'd like to go to Hawaii.
That's cool. Been to the Caribbean, too.
Yeah.
That's North America.
Right.
But yeah, how hard could it be to find someone down at the bottom? And September 21st is coming up. 6 weeks away. Can't we get them to maybe point a video camera?
Yeah.
Nation that far enough south for us to really.
If you go far enough south, that should make for some. It'd be the summer for there, and it should be really long days. I don't know how long the days would be. You could look it up and just see what that would be. How long is? I don't know how long is the day in Del Fuego, or I don't know. You can find out. It'd be pretty long, I would imagine.
Oh. Well, that's Simon's big question. You see, asking what's the daylight and what the pathway of the sun would be. Bottom compared to the top of the all Earth.
Right. Let me look that up.
Well, he went on time and day to get the timing.
Oh, okay. Oh, he already looked it up. What did he say? Del Fuego, how long is the longest day? Or
I don't know. 17 something about 17 hours or something. I don't know. I'm not into it too deeply. I don't know if it's Del Fuego or there's some other city with a name that begins with a U. There.
Yeah, way down south there.
Way down south.
Oh, yeah, way down south. Yeah.
Cotton grows?
I don't know about down there. Probably no cotton. Too far south.
Way down south where that cotton grows.
Yeah.
A minute here. All right, you still there, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
Lumberjack?
I'm here. I just muted my microphone for a bit. Yeah, back.
Cool. Cool, cool.
So what were you guys talking about when I jumped in there with, who was that?
Well, yeah, I was talking to Tal Shire, who is the one that ends all their exclamation points on the forum there. And interesting person. Couldn't get them to come in the live stream because they're having technical issues, but.
Oh.
That person's very interesting. They were just saying how they knew some people that were somehow connected with the 9/11 event and Sandy Hoax, Boston bombing. They said they knew someone that was knew somebody about involved in the 9/11 deception. They said, "Well, get the names. We'll put them through the system. Let's check it out. Ready?
Right? Oh, you know,
see, when you are
ran across that myself, you know." I think I was talking with K-Ham about it, you know. Oh, yeah, you know, some guy I knew they used to say he lost his fiance on 9/11 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's full of beans, but, I mean, I thought he was full of beans back before I even got into the fakeology bit of that, you know.
Right.
He was a strange one.
They've got a name, let's put it in the system. Put it through the VIXIM report. Let's check it out, right?
Sure. Yeah, I don't much think I would get anywhere, even if I could contact him, even though evidently I heard the guy commit suicide or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, the only other thing is I was surprised when I was driving around to see that there was a 9/11 memorial here on Lake Ontario or near where I go. And
like you need one on Lake Ontario. Wow.
Well, I don't know why the city itself, St. Catharines, has the memorial. It's not a small city. I don't know if there was someone allegedly from that area.
Okay, a person, a victim from there. I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
We had 27 victims. allegedly from Canada, Vic 2179, of course.
Okay.
That was interesting. I haven't gone there. I might go there. You know, I just saw a sign for it. So I went and Googled it, and of course, sure enough, it came up.
Right.
On my, did a post on it, fakeologist.com.
I don't remember that one, but.
Got to review the archives there, Lumberjack Greg.
Well, I think I've probably read most of yours. I don't know. That one doesn't ring a bell.
Check it out. We have a memorial.
Yeah.
I think it's the only Canadian memorial that I know of.
Hmm.
And they hardly made any about it. I just saw a small highway sign, and I drove by it and quickly, and I wasn't sure what I was seeing because it was a very small sign, main highway there. And so obviously they don't really want to make a big deal of it.
Yeah, they got these little memorials for almost anything, you know. I mean, you know how I don't know who does that sort of thing.
Biggest occult Masonic memorial event happens every year on 11/11. I always wondered about that, how it was the 11th hour, the 11th day, not the 11th year. Why it was 11? Don't learn about that in school. We just granted that that's the date. They taught the significant.
What's 11/11?
November 11th is Remembrance Day up in the British Commonwealth, including Canada. Huge day.
Oh,
the war.
Wow. Why don't I know that? Guys, that's funny.
What do you guys call it? You guys call November 11th.
Wow. You stumped me, Ab. I've never heard of this. Seriously.
It's not Memorial Day for you. Might be Veterans Day for all I know down there. Have Memorial Day May.
Wait a minute. I don't even have Veterans Day. I'm drawing a blank. When is that?
W1, the armistice was signed on 11/11. It was to signal the end of WW1.
WW1. Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, I guess that's not made a big deal, it seems like, around these parts.
You guys wear poppies down there, November 11th?
No. 11/11, that's not something that's in the rotation.
Really?
No.
Don't wear poppies. Don't sell poppies down there to support war veterans down there on November 11th.
No. That's not a Gitmo USA thing, really. No. Never heard of it.
Don't know that. Oh. Hmm. Well, type it up. Are you in front of your computer?
Yeah. What do you call it?
Type in Remembrance Day. You're gonna see poppies everywhere. Poppy became symbol because there's a graveyard, I believe it's in France. Poppies grow, buried a lot of soldiers there. There's some poem called In Flanders Fields, Poppies Grow. Now, I don't know who wrote that. Might have been a Brit, but for some reason I think it's an American that wrote it. So look up that in Flanders Fields, where they got the poppy.
Yeah.
Of course, they get opium from poppies, right?
Right. That doesn't seem to be part of the mass cultural programming in my part of the world, or I would have heard of it.
Shocking. They do a thing in Canada just about every burg, every town, every city. They stink about it.
Hmm.
A holiday in some provinces up here.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I got it now. It lists
got there.
The observances in all the different countries. Okay, Veterans Day. Yeah, that's I was thinking. Is observed on November the 11th. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's just a different name. Veterans Day is November 11th. Yeah.
I said Veterans Day, didn't you? I was right about that.
Yeah, you nailed it, Ab.
But you don't do the poppy thing at all. Or a poppy. I
never heard
of
the poppy business, no. Never heard of that.
Maybe that's a British Empire thing.
Maybe, yeah. They say November 11th
really
was formerly known as Armistice Day. In the United States, it was given its new name in 1954 at the end of the Korean War to honor all veterans. According to Wikipedia here.
Call it before that. Oh, Armistice Day. Okay. U.S., they called it Armistice Day?
See.
Where is it mostly observed? In the British Commonwealth?
Yeah, it was called Armistice Day. Evidently, it was called Armistice Day before. And then now they changed it to Veterans Day at the end of the Korean War.
You guys don't hardly mention it, though, I guess. I would take it, huh?
Oh, well, Veterans Day, yes. You just had me throwing for a loop about the date. I was like, going, oh yeah, it's Veterans Day. That's what that is. Yeah. I'm familiar
for
it,
anything
with being
special?
Called Veterans Day, not the Armistice Day or anything else. But that's Veterans Day. You know?
Guys doing anything special for it?
You know, you might get the day off if you work at the bank.
Yeah, the bank.
Yeah, they like it, yeah.
Do anything to take a day off, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially a day like that. I would say that was a key point in the evolution of our banking industry. World War One.
Well, I taught you something new.
Yeah, yeah. It is a holiday here. Yeah, I just was not familiar with your vocabulary there. It's just... We call it, it's called different things in different countries, according to this Wikipedia article. It's like, wow, I didn't know. It's like every country's listed, like, what it is. That's funny.
It's called in Britain.
Servants in the Commonwealth, that's the first part, okay.
So it's mostly a British thing? They do anything in France?
Let's see, France and Belgium, Remembrance Day in France. National holiday for France and Belgium.
Wow.
The First World War is considered in France as the Great Patriotic War. Oh, okay. Ah, in France, the blue cornflower is used symbolically rather than the poppy.
Blue corn?
Blue cornflower. It's got a picture here of a blue, funny-looking blue flower with ribbons on it. Bleu de France, circa 1950.
Give me a sec there, Lumber.
Go ahead. Sounds like you're at the airport.
User disconnected from your channel. User disconnected from your channel. User joined your channel.
Yeah, well, here it is. I haven't quite left it. I said I was leaving. It was actually funny. Someone on... Psychologist.com said, I think it was Black Dog said, yeah, sure, we haven't heard your last of you. And you're right. I'm not leaving until one day soon. I will be leaving. Now, it is, what is it? It is the 4th of November. I've just heard the most amazing piece of radio on, and it's JLB again. One of the guys I absolutely love. I love JLB to bits. Why he interviews people like Patricia Steer, who I would call a glomon absolute, yes, I'm not sure of her one bit. And, the other guy, David Weiss, why he is like hanging on to these two, Patricia Steer, David Weiss, these flat earthers. Anyway, let's just play a little bit of music for them. Come on, David. Not David Weiss. You hear it coming in your left speaker? This is... Come on, David.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know who's just...
Yeah, so I'm seeing that, like, old mates, there's a few people having a few fights at the moment. And look, there's no problem with me when it comes to JLB. I think JLB is a great guy. I have problems with Steer and Weiss. I think Weiss and Steer are these, like, glomons, nasty pieces of work. I don't think they're for truth at all. They're in there to mess with things, in my humble opinion. And now that Tommy is not getting on, I don't know. I just I like people like Tom and everybody at Fakeologist. But well, here you go. Sounds like that sound that Mojo makes. No, seriously, I'm off for, yeah, definitely the next month. it's so good. Wait till you listen to JLB talk to David Weiss and Steer. Those two, what a glomon is made clear to me, is someone who just wants to attach themselves to you. Now, it's not like, well, maybe it is very much like discredit by association not guilt by association, discredit by association. Now, I think JLB is much cleverer than most, but these two, Weiss and Steer, they're not good to me. Everything feels wrong to me about those two. Wanda in the chat. Me and Wanda are going back and forth and just saying, what do you think of these two? Me and Wanda. Wanda's going, yeah, I don't think much of them. I don't know why. And she's a cutie. I haven't spoken to Wanda in ages. And Wanda's like hell of a strong personality when it comes to speaking your mind. And I love it a bit. I like strong personalities, but not glomons. Glomons are your types where they go, oh, I see something. Let's glom on to that. Let's attach ourselves to that. Like we have Ab. We have people like Simon Shacks, your Hoaxbusters, and these really strong personalities, Del Quires and things like that. But then we have these glomons, and they think they are something, and then they bring Judy Wood into it. Judy Wood, I love Ab and Judy Wood to have a conversation, but who is Judy Wood? Where is she? Come on, Judy Wood, where are you? You know, she's just one of these just scumbag, scummy of scum people with one of these scummiest. That's how you bring down a tower, with a magical mystery tour weapon. Magical mystery tour. Anyway, I just love David Bowie. Let's listen to Commander.
He has spent more time in space than any other American, and now he's talking to us from the International Space Station. Joining us right now is Expedition 45 Commander Scott Kelly. Commander, a year in space is what you're going to wind up spending. Who did you hack off to get that assignment?
Well, there was a long list, but actually, to be honest with you, there were a lot of people in our office that wanted to do this. It's, it's an honor to be the first American to spend this amount of time in space.
Okay, this is Q&A with Commander Scott Kelly. Kelly, K is, the 11th letter of the alphabet, and L-L-Y. Yeah, you got 11-11 going there. November 3rd, 2015, on the NASA's website. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, have a look at Commander Scott Kelly coming through the shot with his GIMP mask on. And anyone who doesn't know what a GIMP mask is, it's like a Halloween mask. And he looks at the camera. And let's not forget, Scott Kelly, Commander Scott Kelly, says every minute of his time up there is accounted for. So he's got time to do goofing off things. And hold on, how do they get that bloody goofy Mike Myers or whatever it is Halloween mask up there in the first place? But they put that up there in the first place. And by the way, where's all the oxygen? I asked the other day, all the water up there when he's doing his backflips and whatnot, all the hamburgers, the Big Mac, Scott Kelly Big Mac burgers, and then all the oxygen they've got up there. Like, this is the biggest fraud ever. Keep going, fat boy.
A challenge, and I look at it as a real privilege.
Absolutely. Commander, what do you hope to accomplish in your year in space?
Well, on NASA's horizon, hopefully not in the too far distant future, is a journey to Mars. And there are still things we need to know about spending the amount of time in space.
See that sort of shit? A journey to Mars. Like, if that isn't fucking unbelievable, like the journey to the moon. How about we go to the moon for real? Like, and how about you explain how rockets work in the vacuum of space, fat boy? Like, I saw this thing the other day, and it was unreal. It was on Jeronism's site. It's like, says, like, exactly, there's so many questions. What about that bloody shot where you see the ISS, ISIS thing in space, where, like, who's taking the photo of the thing where it shows ISIS in space in front of the Earth? Come on, fat boy. Answer that question. There's so many bloody questions that NASA lied so much in the 60s with the moon landings, the late 60s, early 70s with the moon landings. When you've been betrayed and lied to by someone, it's hard to then, I can imagine one day NASA will go, oh, do you know what? You know, we did lie about that all the years ago. We really didn't get a car. And when I look at that moon buggy going around on the moon, that was so dangerous. And there's so many things that could have gone wrong with that. And if you actually look at the Hasselblad photos closely, with the little star crosses on it, one of the stars, one of the crosses on the Hasselblad things goes behind the moon buggy. And you know that's somehow NASA trying to say, fuck you, with a big digit saying, go fuck yourself. Come on, fat boy, keep going.
Space that it will take to get to Mars and, safely get back to Earth. And the space station, while we have it, is a incredible opportunity to learn those things with regards to, mostly in this year with regards to our health and the negative effects.
Yeah. How's your health going to go when you're sticking yourself with silly ass flu and flu shots that almost killed my mother-in-law? And you'd think that'd be a good thing, wouldn't you? You'd think that'd be a good thing. I hate my mother-in-law. She's got this laugh that goes, nah, I don't want her to be killed by a flu shot. And I don't even want Scott Kelly to be killed by a flu shot. But I certainly don't want him to promote it. Keep going, fat boy.
That this environment can have in our health and how to mitigate those effects. So it's, it's a great laboratory we have and a great chance to learn those things we need to know to go to Mars.
This laboratory, again, is the most unsafe thing. There are so many people on the web, on YouTube, are saying this. It looks like someone went down to Home Depot or something. I don't know what the place is in America where you go and buy all this stuff. And you just higgledy-piggledy attach things on the wall where everything can go wrong with this, with all these bloody wires and things where feet can get hooked into. I'm sorry, but this is an absolute schmozzle. Fat boy, keep going.
Sure. Of course, Commander, your brother is, Mark Kelly, is an identical twin of yours. Are you essentially a human guinea pig? They're trying to figure out if one guy spends a year in space, how will that impact his body as opposed to the guy, his clone, who's here on Earth?
They're clones. There you go. All right. I wonder why Ab couldn't tell them apart. I think they look different to me. But it is funny that Mark Kelly, the clone, is knocking around with goofy Gabby Gifford, who got shot with a hollow point bullet, point blank in the back of the head. Ngang, yogurt, 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 yogurt stuff. It's a connected thing. This guy is not in, he's just as much as in space as I am. And Patricia Steer and bloody, that awful David Weiss. I don't like those two one bit. And I don't like the fact that they're attaching themselves to this sort of stuff. I'm sorry, Ab, but I find David Weiss and Patricia Steer, sons of bitches. I really do think they're glomons. Where have they come from? Anyway, and if you listen to bloody David Weiss's show, I'm with Kaham. It is just unlistenable, if that's a word. Keep going, fat boy.
Well, in some at some level, all astronauts and cosmonauts are human guinea pigs in that we participate in a human research program that we are the subjects. And with regards to my brother and I, it was a good opportunity once I was assigned to this flight for NASA to use him as a ground-based control subject for some of the experiments. We had data on him for a very long time, and he's familiar with the program and how we do things. So it was a great opportunity to learn some extra things on this flight that we would.
He's really got to stop saying, Like, every time I said, when I was a kid, my father would smack me in the back of the head. Give me a backhander. Don't say, because I don't know. I know I say, sometimes. When I can't think of something, or but this guy, surely. But maybe that's what an astronaut is. He's like this little, fat, short twerp. It just says, all the time. And why they only got one microphone up there when they got all six of them on their trapezes in shot, and then they throw the microphone around? It's because to give the illusion, isn't it, that they're in zero gravity. You'd think that NASA, with all the billions that they have, that they each have a mic in their hand. But no, they've got to throw it around. It's so fucking funny. It's so fucking retarded. NASA, death to you.
Wouldn't have necessarily had we not had somebody that was a very almost identical match genetically.
Mm-hmm. Commander, first of all, tell us where you are in the International Space Station.
Over Australia, right?
You got wires everywhere. It looks kind of like just part of an airplane.
Come down here, mate.
How far in space, how fast are you going, and where are you right now?
Yeah, so I am in the U.S. Destiny Laboratory module. It's kind of the main primary module for the U.S. segment of the space station. It's part laboratory, part, like, you know, bridge of the
Starship muzzle.
Enterprise in a small way. And we are 250 miles above the surface of the Earth, traveling at 17,500 miles an hour. And we are currently over Australia, and it is nighttime. And in about 45 minutes, we'll be, or less than 45 minutes, we'll be flying over the United States.
I watched Star Trek, a lot of Star Trek. And I have saw the where Captain Kirk was at the head of the Enterprise, and it never looked anything like that, Commander. Commander, that is a dog's breakfast. Keep going.
That is so cool. Commander, you're kind of floating around. If you are weightless right now, do you mind doing a flip?
Okay, let me just pause it there. Anyone? If you want to look at the Q&A with Commander Kelly at NASA at 4 minutes 12 seconds, you'll see the biggest, fattest, something that's had so many space burgers and Earth burgers and God knows how many other burgers pumped in and pumped out of that fucking ass. 4 minutes 12 seconds. And he can only do backflips. Why doesn't he do forward flips? Keep going.
Done.
I love that. I want to be able to do that. What sort of training does somebody have to go through to be an astronaut on the International Space Station? There are a lot of kids who still dream of growing up and being in your shoes, Commander.
Well, you know, we have a lot of training once we get selected, and, you know, it's several years. And then there's flight-specific training. That's another, you know, 2 to 3 years. But, you know, I look at it as I basically started training for this job when I started going to school, and everything I've learned and, you know, all my experiences, especially as I got older in the Navy, operational type experiences are very important to working in this environment. So, you know, what I tell kids is it's very important for them to focus on their education and then focus on kind of broadening their, you know, horizons and their abilities with regards to do things that are, you know, kind of an operational nature. You see around here, this is a very busy place.
So he's looking around. So what about homeschooling, Scotty? Little Scotty? If I homeschooled my kid, like, what do you reckon? What his chances would be? What about connections, little Scotty? It just so happens that you and your brother happen to both become astronauts and both doing flu shots. And what about your brother-in-law's, like Gabby? She just happens to be in a sort of a crazy a shot in the back of the head and survives a hollow point Glock shot point blank in the back of the head. And what do you reckon? Do you think all of this is real? What about all the oxygen up there on the – where's all the oxygen? Like the oxygen, like the air that you're breathing up there. Come on, mate. Explain scientifically some of these things to us. A bit more scientific. Not appeal to kids, but keep going, fat boy.
With all kinds of equipment, wires, computer equipment, things like that. You know, we can't call the repairman. We have to fix this. We have to understand how these very complicated systems work. So, you know, everything you learn along the way is important to doing this job the right way.
Sure. Our friend down here on Earth, Pete Hegseth, is an Army vet. I know you're a Navy guy. He's going to go through astronaut training in Houston next week. Do you think an Army guy could actually hack what you're doing?
Isn't it funny that he's a Navy guy? Because yeah, a Navy guy, I would imagine, is used to working underwater. And, you know, he said there was no difference between doing the spacewalk than his training underwater with all the bubbles. Go to NASA Johnson and watch whatever it is. I can't remember the name of the band, but it's like it's Scott Kelly looking like a potato. And keep going.
No, I don't think so. I think we should have mostly people from the Navy up here. Actually, I'm joking. When I got up here, the commander was Terry Virts, Air Force guy. The last time I was up here, the commander of the space station when I first got here was Doug Wheelock, an Army guy. We have people from all services.
The militarization of space, that was something else that I and a couple of things, actually, while I think about them. The militarization of space, one, make sure no one else gets anywhere near up there. But even then, I'm not sure about that. I always like to see the rockets go up, and then the rockets go sideways towards, and then they turn the cameras off, especially Saturn V. That was a classic. And anyone who questions, now I've been so long been cut off from NASA on YouTube making comments. No way NASA will let me make even one single positive comment anymore. But I love it. Like everyone says, why so many thumbs down? And then other people, anyone who makes a slightly disparaging comment of NASA now gets, oh, they're just people that live in their mother's basement. That's what I am, because I'm disparaging NASA. I'm just some guy that lives in his mother's basement. No, I'm not. I have a very good life. I have a very beautiful view. I have lovely parrots all out here enjoying my time. I have my beautiful wife here. But I don't like liars. And in fact, I find raping my wallet. That means, because NASA's doing it for all humanity, that means everyone that I know on this planet, if it is a planet, flat or curved, I don't give a fuck, is raping my wallet. And my raping my bloody, if I had a child, which I don't know that I do have one, but if I did, if I have a child, raping their mind, saying, oh, yeah, you could be an astronaut. This is all fake. This is fake. Look at him. He's on a goddamn harness. You can see his little his big fat body, and it's all squeezed in. He's on a harness. We know that. Keep going, fat boy.
All very capable people, and we also have people that aren't from the military. And, I'm currently retired Navy, but we have people that started off in the astronaut program as civilians. And the important thing is to
have, I'm a civilian. I'm pissed
that,
off.
You know, work hard, that, are relatively smart. I don't think, consider myself the smartest person out there.
Well, why aren't you? You should be.
People that are, relatively smart, but more importantly, to be able to work as a team, because it is a team effort, not only with the folks, up here.
You'd think this guy would be one of the smartest of smartest, the most intelligent people to get up there. But no, maybe it is just because he is a twin. You remember that in the Second World War, that there was like one of those bloody Germans that had a big thing with twins over there. But I don't know. And then you got Wernher von Braun, who liked rockets to start with. But yeah, the whole idea of sticking a human being on the end of a rocket is retarded. It is retarded. It was retarded then. It's retarded now. And this whole idea that these guys are in zero gravity, and how do rockets and everything work in space? It is retarded. Anyway, keep going, liar man.
At work up here, but also the folks that we deal with on the ground that make this program happen.
Sure. Commander, when you are in space for a year, Are you on social media? Are you able to communicate with your loved ones on Earth on Twitter? And what food are you going to miss the most, so that as soon as you land, you say, take me to this place?
I always thought he was going to say, are you on Social Security? Oh, no, he's on... Are you on social media? Of course he's on social media. He's on bloody Twitter and that bloody thing, Instagram, and what... If he'd play a guitar, he could do the same thing as Chris Hadfield. Again, I suggest to everyone, watch Chris Hadfield closely when he was up there and he did his spin. You can actually see the wires on the back of his jumper. Hadfield didn't have the skill as Fat Boy Piggy Man here. Pigs in space. Keep going.
So we have pretty decent capability with regards to email and a Skype IP type, voiceover IP type phone system that allows us to communicate. There's a little bit of a delay. We do have an internet connection.
That's pretty funny. Oh, let me just rewind
probably a lot like dial-up. So we have pretty decent on the ground that make this program happen.
Here we go. Listen to this.
Commander, when you are in space for a year, are you on social media? Are you able to communicate with your loved ones on Earth on Twitter? And what food are you going to miss the most so that as soon as you land, you say, take me to this place?
So we have pretty decent capability with regards to email and a Skype IP type, voiceover IP type phone system that allows us to communicate. There's a little bit of a delay. We do have an internet connection that is, it's probably a lot like dial-up was. If, I'm sure the kids out there don't know what dial-up.
Again, yeah, I missed the first part of that question before, but no, it's all good. Now, like, again, he's absolutely adamant that every minute of his day up there is accounted for. And I like that in certain periods of certain questions, he is definitely, his time is accounted for. And he's a commander and everything is accounted for. And yet he's got time to goof off and put silly Halloween masks on. And how did he get the Halloween mask up there? And then apparently they're going to give gifts to each other. Is there a gift shop on board the on the ISIS or the ISS? ISIS. I think they're both just as fictional. Anyway, should I move it forward? Keep going.
Dial-up is, but it allows us to get on the internet. It's slow, not ideal, but better than...
He's talking about dial-up internet. That's hilarious.
So there's pretty good capability there to communicate.
Well, that's what the guys in the 60s didn't have dial-up internet, did they? There you go. That reminds me of something else. When the LEM took off from the moon, and then the actual camera actually could pan up, pan is left and right, tilt up and actually keep it in shot is one of the most ridiculous things too, NASA. Explain to me, Fat Boy Scott Kelly, how the hell did they get a camera to tilt up if they weren't on Earth and it was not a model? Look at that thing where it's taken off the moon. It is ridiculous. Keep going.
What I'll get when I land. You know, we land in Kazakhstan, so...
Yeah, Kazakhstan. It's cheaper in Kazakhstan, isn't it? Isn't it, mate? Who's around in Kazakhstan to see you land? Basically, we got shown that you kind of landed in these things in the ocean, but nah, it's too expensive. NASA's such cheapskates. It's not like they're robbing our wallets for billions and billions of dollars, trillions probably, for all humanity. They can't even show you landing anymore. You just land in Kazakhstan. That's fucking pathetic. You're pathetic.
You know, something like a corned beef sandwich from New York City or some, you know, New Jersey, New York pizza. But they do the best they can. And, hopefully when I get home, I'll get up to the Northeast pretty soon.
Corned beef and pizza.
Well, I tell you what, Commander, when you land, come to me here in New York City, and I'm taking you out for a big steak after a year in space. Commander Scott Kelly, good luck to you.
Commander Scott Kelly, yay.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you.
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the Fox News portion of the event.
Oh, that was Fox News,
stand by
was
for
it?
A voice check.
Why didn't they put Bill O'Reilly on there? Or Grunter, Gretel Van Susteren.
Station, this is CBS Evening News. How do you hear me?
I'm Gretel Van Susteren. I've been hitting the face with a shovel.
Welcome aboard the space station.
Thanks for having us and taking some time with us, Captain. We appreciate it.
He's commander, but that's all right.
I know you
forgot who that was.
Up there.
Should I rewind?
To what extent do you see your job as an ambassador building the case for space exploration?
Doesn't speak for me if he's an ambassador.
Well, you know, we have a lot of jobs up here.
Yeah, what?
And that's one of them. You know, our other jobs are doing the we're scientists, we're researchers,
head jobs.
We're operators of the equipment. We're repairmen. We're the you know, the housekeeper, the person that cleans the place. You know, all
the Oompa Loompas. That's what we all want.
One of them, and
who does the real work up there?
You know, unique perspective up here. Living and working in this laboratory, that it's important for us to share this program as best we can with the taxpayers and the people.
Oh yeah, here we go. Okay, let me just rewind that because we get into an important point there. And
how much easier is your job
with the taxpayers and the people around the world that. You know, we have to fill all these roles, but, being the ambassador for spaceflight is also one of them, and it's important. And we have, you know, a unique perspective up here, living and working in this laboratory, that it's important for us to share this program as best we can with the taxpayers and the people around the world that pay for this program, because it is an international program.
There you go. Now,
how much easier is your job of sharing? How much easier has that job been made by social media?
Okay, let me just pause that there. And that's the most important part, in my opinion. The taxpayers. People are saying, why would NASA lie about this? Why would they lie about everything they do? And we know that they lie. They are colossal liars. They are mammoth liars. The liars don't get any bigger. But there are lies in certain levels. Like there's the simple lie, and then there's a lie the next level up, and then the next level up, and then the next level up. I didn't know this. The lies just get smaller and smaller, but they're still lies. But just a massive lie, which is NASA, which is like that snake's tongue that comes out, which I'm not into Satan, but yeah, you switch the words around, and it does become Satan. Not into evil, and I'm a non-theist. I'm not a atheist. I'm not a theist. I'm not into God or religion or anything like that. But I'm telling you that every goddamn thing I see when I see people going against NASA, ask a slight question against NASA, is like, what? What? You dare to question NASA? NASA? Yeah, NASA is science. It's pure science. Don't you dare question NASA. But then you have, why would I want to be an atheist when you have Richard Dawkins where he goes, oh, my God, you believe in the Bible? You know, you're a Bible believer? God damn it. Fuck off. You know, how could I? Richard Dawkins is the biggest scumbag as well. Richard Dawkins and Scott Kelly are the biggest scumbags. I wish they'd both disappear, but it certainly makes it entertaining. Anyway, here, keep going.
Oh, I think it's not only easier for us to do it, sharing the space program, but I think in general, you know, the public affairs role for different organizations have changed, you know, greatly with social media. Each person kind of becomes their own, you know, for good or bad, a public affairs department. So, it's something I enjoy doing.
So he keeps saying, you know, again, I'm sorry to say it, but you know, I don't know why he keeps saying that, but, but Twittering and being on, because he wants to appeal to children, like that silly bloody bubble experiment he does. And this floating thing that he does on his harness. Yes, and they have to have, if you look behind him closely, it says hatch on the end of the thing, and they don't have any of the hatches closed. So can you imagine, like, when one of the hatches fails, or one of these compartments in this silly-ass thing that we're supposed to believe is the ISS, which is completely fake. They say it's the size of a football field. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's see a continuous camera shot from one end to the other, if it's the size of a football field. And that's what these guys are telling us. This thing is the size of a football field. I would like to see one continuous camera shot without a break, and then show us where all the water is, because you guys have got to drink, all the food is, because you guys have got to eat, and where all the air is. Because there's got to be goddamn oxygen tanks or air tanks. Not oxygen, but air. Can't have pure oxygen. Maybe you are on pure oxygen. That's why your head's so bloody red and why you're, you seem so high.
I think it's something I hope that the public enjoys as well.
So you've been setting some records, some longevity records, as far as the American who has spent the most cumulative days
record
in space.
Record for
and,
the biggest
and
bullshitter.
Now you're on your 221st day, your longest period in space. When you do that kind of longevity, I'd like to know, what are the biggest challenges, not just physically, but emotionally?
Pooping in the pooper.
For that duration of time.
What do you reckon? Come on, Scotty. Think about it.
Well, it is a long time. Fortunately, I had flown 159 days previously, and that felt like a long time, and I've been up here much longer than that. And I have a long, long time ahead of me.
I tried to prepare for that, and I recognize that
I'm in this enclosed environment. I can't leave, and that's probably the hardest thing.
Man, this guy's so repetitive, too.
To just walk out your front door and, breathe the fresh air and put your feet in the grass and, those kind of things are, besides, human contact are the things that we miss the most up here. So I think the best preparation is just trying to understand the situation we're in and, coping the best way we can.
People think of the romance of space and everyone on Earth envies you being up there on the cutting edge of exploration, but not every day is probably a great day. It's like any other part of being a human being. You probably have some down days, too.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're doing, anything, you're going to have, anything that people do, you're going to have good days and bad days. For me up here, though, they've been mostly good. I try to be a pretty positive person and have a pretty good outlook on things. Understanding that this is a real privilege to be able to, represent my country and, be a part of this and, as the first, 1 year crew member for the United States, at least, is, something that makes it a little bit easier.
There you go.
Now, you said you couldn't just walk out your front.
Been a long time, lonely. My internet, again, is playing up. I want to put that song on. It won't let me. All right. Pause. I'll be back. We'll all be back. Unless, basically, hold on. The Earth stops spinning. I feel it spinning now. Now that I realize that we're on a flat plane. I don't know. I think Patricia Steer and David Weiss pissed me off so much earlier on today. I just hope that John Le Bon, I know that has had some issues there with Tommy just recently. But I think Tommy is such a nice guy. He gets on with anyone. Even I can't piss him off, and I tried my best. Anyway, here we go. I'll just pause this, and we'll be right back.
User in your channel timed out. User entered your channel.
Yeah!
treasure. Will I know what I'm doing? Do I know what I'm doing? Come on, Kelly, keep going.
Sure, but last week you did take your first two spacewalks ever. After thinking about that for years, what it would be like, how did the reality compare to what you thought it would be?
Come on, tell us.
Well, you know, I thought it would be hard, and it was hard work. A lot of people probably wouldn't believe this, but it wasn't really fun. It was kind of that type two kind of fun, and it's fun when it's over. You know, while you're doing it, you're like, oh, this is really hard. But when you're done, you're like, wow, that was a lot of fun. It's kind of like that kind of fun. And the view was a lot better than I thought it would be, which really surprised me. We got another one here coming up on Friday, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope it goes as well as the first one. We're working pretty hard towards that goal.
Yeah, so what Kelly's saying there is that he's like a type two type of fun. I think that's what he's trying to say. Is like, yeah, they squeeze him into his fat suit, they squeeze him out of the hatch, squeeze him into outer space, and I saw like 2 or 3 minutes. That's all they gave us down here on Down Under, of him like in front of a very cloudy planet Earth that day. I didn't see anything but clouds under him. In what that was showing us. And then, but a type two type of fun is for him is like, once you've done it. So when you climb Mount Everest, he was trying to say on one of his previous things, like this fat boy with his little fat legs ever climbed like this tiniest little hill. The man that, went up Mount Everest and came down a hill. You know, he's just a bullshitter. Look at him with his smug look on his smug fat face and his smug little bouncy up and down with his smug little, he can float his little microphone around and just say, oh yeah, to the kiddies, I'm so goddamn smug. Well, not to me, you're not. And not to a lot of people that are, and I'm not just flat earthers. Now, the flat earthers, I still have a major problem with. I think flat earthers are a major messing with people that I hate NASA. Now this flat earth business I think is a real, real cog in the wrench in the cog of fucking NASA. It's got to go. Anyway, keep going, fat boy.
So it might be a fair way to describe it. You don't like space walking. You like having space walked.
I guess I could say that. You know, it's pretty challenging. It's also a pretty risky environment out there. So it's not that wee kind of fun, you know, you have when you're on a roller coaster or something like that. But it is, you know, it is fun in hindsight because it is, you know, it's so much of a challenge.
I want to ask you. You mentioned the views. I want to ask you about sunrises and sunsets. Because you get a lot more than two a day. I think by our count, 3,500 so far this trip. Are they all the same, or do some sunsets look better and different than others?
Well, that's good, isn't it? Sunrises and sunsets and all the dodginess that we get from the ISS watch. How about why the ISS watch? And I've got to do a shout-out to those Geronism and that Bob and all right. They did something the other day. What did they do that pissed me off? And Ab actually put their thing on. David Icke and lizard people. I don't know why the hell they would want to bring that into the conversation. David Icke and lizard people. So I've got to say Geronism, Bob and the Morgyle, David Icke and the lizard people. You're going to bring that into the conversation? And you're already in sort of kind of flat earthers. You know, I'm a little bit bloody skeptical. I mean that guy with the mask on that you did the big thing on the other day with the, I don't know who he is. I don't know what he is, but he obviously has, he makes more money than you, Geronism. But then, you on your show, again, I'll only say it simply, you have, respect for David Icke. And you think other people are lizard people. I mean, are we going to talk about space aliens next and then archons and things like that? I just don't know. I find that terribly troubling to me. And that's why John Le Bon, I want to like the guy, but then he associates himself with Patricia Steer and David Weiss and those types that are so untrustworthy in my opinion. But there you go. It's all being blasted out. Like, who's the only one to be trusted here? Ab? Me? Simon Shack? Is anyone to be trusted? Is no one? Oh, let's trust this big, fat pig in space. Keep going.
Well, they all vary. Not only do they vary in how they look because of the environment and the atmosphere, but they also vary in how long they last based on our orbit and how we are, our orbit is in relation to the sun. So some last longer than others. They're all spectacular. Sunrises on Earth though are pretty incredible too, and they're kind of hard to compare the two. But the good thing about the ones on Earth is I think they vary much more in how they look, in their appearance, and they last much longer because you're not going around the Earth at 17,500 miles an hour. But like you said, we get a lot more of them up here.
How many miles an hour are we going around the planet Earth?
When you had been looking at sunrises and sunsets from inside the space station, is there any difference from when you're observing a sunrise or sunset while you're space walking?
It's incredible, the difference. Like I said, I didn't, I heard people tell me that the view is just amazing. And I thought, the view is pretty amazing up here. Looking out the window, how could it be much more amazing? But when you're looking through one, pane of glass that the helmet visor is, and how your face is kind of up in the visor, so your field of view is much greater. It is just a completely different level of color,
completely different level of bullshit
that you see of the Earth.
Absolutely disgraceful human being, Scott Kelly.
This is a great view. It doesn't really compare to being outside.
Doesn't even really compare to what's being outside.
Adam, I got time for one more question.
Oh, one more question. Make it a good one.
The last 15 years has been to obviously further humanity's understanding of space. 9 years left on this mission. What do you hope to find? And make an argument for why it should be more than 9 years and this kind of exploration needs to continue.
To bleed our wallets. Come on.
Well, being a former member of the military, I don't like the idea of giving up ground that we've taken. And this is a foothold in space.
Hey, don't worry. You're going to give up ground, mate.
Continue to learn things. So far we've learned an incredible amount on how to build the life support systems.
Don't you worry, mate. We're building ground, and we are. I'm coming for you. Like Bill O'Reilly says on Fox News, I'm coming for you. And I hope all fakeologists are coming for you, Commander Kelly. We're coming for you. You are a liar. You are a fraud. You are a total huckster. What do you call it? Every single, when you go to carnival, you're a carny. That's what you are. Except you're in a billion-dollar carnival, like a tent in space. You are a disgrace in space. NASA is a waste of space. Finish up your little carny act. The P in the pod are you under? Come on.
Electrical system, the procedures, the operations, the working with the ground. We've learned a lot about human health and how this environment, negatively affects our bodies, but also how to mitigate some of those effects. And there's a lot more to learn. Now, whether, 9 years from now, if or whenever we decide to, retire the space station, because at some point we probably will. I mean, I guess you could keep adding on modules and maybe taking away ones that no longer serve their purposes. But, you know, if we don't continue this space station, I hope we're continuing another or, you know, something on the moon and eventually.
Something on the moon.
Will be Mars. Hopefully not too far in a distant future.
Devin, thank you so much for your time. I will say hi to West Orange for you tonight on my ride home to Montclair.
West Orange. Oh, there he is. There's his big fat ass again. Doing that silly backflip. Do a forward flip, you fucking
station. This is Houston,
fat pig in space.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you.
If you decide
to put this away, good. I'm definitely up next week, in 2 days' time. Hopefully the plane doesn't crash. I mean, all the plane crashes going on. Anyway, here we go. We'll finish off with a little bit of the Led Zepp. Why not? Commander Kelly is in jail for fraud, and everyone at NASA. Death to NASA! And that right soon!
User in your channel timed out.
Bonjour, je suis Unreal, et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist avec Abirato et ses invités.